from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everybody to Lean Local. As kind of said in the intro, we're a show that leans local into the local issues that are facing us. And, you know, the media, who actually, I guess I work for the media now, they cover a lot of things on the federal level. And, you know, we are concerned and interested in, obviously, you know, Trump, Biden and Gaza and Ukraine. And we're interested in the state, what's going on there. But I don't think enough attention is being paid to what's going on locally. And when you really look at it, that's the quality of life is what happens locally in terms of everything from garbage pickup to parks, recreation, obviously public safety, education. So what we do here is we try to lean local, and we have some school board people coming on. We've got different leaders in different municipalities that we'll be talking to over the next, you know, few weeks. We're scheduled all pretty far. And I just want to thank WGBW for giving me the opportunity to talk to our listeners about what's going on locally. I just don't think it's being covered like it should be, and I'm going to try and elevate some things. When I say lean local, obviously I'm leaning on the local issues, but I also want to know that we don't lean left and we don't lean right. I've been a nonpartisan candidate and mayor and county board for 20 years. And when people would ask me, oh, you're Republican or Democrat, it would always be like, you know, I'm about Green Bay, and that's where my focus was. And I did my best, and I think the city and I worked well together. So today, so we look at Green Bay, you look at our local community. Green Bay's got a pretty strong name, but and we our next guest after this one is going to be a guy who works in Green Bay. But right now we're going to talk to Rich Heidel. Rich Heidel is the president of Hobart. I think you've heard of Hobart, and you've all driven by Hobart when you take 29. That is an interesting community, and they've got, as they say, good bones. Your infrastructure is very strong. I think, first of all, Hobart's gone from 5,000, they've doubled their population in 10 years.
Right, Jim. We are right now in excess of 11,000 residents.
I got to welcome you, Rich. I do all the talking. Rich Heidel, the president of the village of Hobart, is with us today. And we're going to talk about Hobart, a village with, you know, 11,000 people. And I think, Rich, you're just getting started. You know, Rich, the reason I say that, you've got a lot of elbow room. You have 33 square miles.
Right.
You know, and I had Jim Rafter on last Sunday. They have 5 square miles.
Yeah.
You both have 13. Well, you both have very similar. You're within 1,000 people of each other. I won't talk about Al. I won't talk about you. So you're located. I think people know where you are. Something a little different. You're located entirely within the former treaty boundaries of the Oneida Nation, and you've been doing a good job with that. You became a village in 2002. Tell me why you made that move.
It was, you know, you and I, Jim, I think, can claim to be of the same graduating class, being that of perhaps 2002 or 2001.
Right.
At that point in time, Hobart was incorporated as a town.
Right.
This is actually precedes my time there, but as I understand it, Hobart was over time gradually being annexed. By of all entities, the city of Green Bay itself. And the residents of Hobart basically wanted to protect the characteristics of the village or the town and the benefits of being a town. And under Wisconsin state law, the only way that we could protect that community was to incorporate them as a village. Mm-hmm. So that's what did occur. In 2002, from that point on, then our boundaries were protected from annexation.
Right. Fortunate for you, I was elected in 2003. Yeah. I'm not sure I would have let that happen. Anyway, it is. And so the changes to become a village, you had to make some internal changes too.
We did. We at about the same point in time, becoming a village, we suddenly then took on the responsibility of other things, of providing directly for public safety,
right.
Which meant one of two things, essentially, either putting forth our own police department or contracting with the county sheriff. Up until that point, we were served by the county by default.
Right, they had to.
So that was probably the biggest single thing that we took on as a responsibility.
But once you became a, when were you elected as president? Is that what you're called, the president out there?
I'm the village president.
Okay.
I was elected actually as the result, it was, as I understand, it was the first successful recall of a village president was in September of 2003.
Very familiar with that.
Yeah. So prior to that, I had served as a trustee for about 4 months.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't bring up his name because then he can laugh. But anyway, yeah. So you became a village. You recalled the guy that was there and you became elected as president. You started a development plan.
Correct.
That's been very, very aggressive.
Right.
And I want to talk about it because I think it's been successful from the data. I go there once in a while. I think you've done a great job. Not as often as whatever. But what I like about your development, first of all, it's new. Your demographics are good. I mean, your income's almost $20,000 higher per capita than it is in Green Bay.
Yeah, we have affluent neighborhoods. We also have a good number of what I would consider to be middle income people as well.
Mm-hmm.
The demographics of the village are really all over the place. We have had a very aggressive economic development plan, but that's attributable to probably at least four different things. But we can't take credit for a couple of those. Those are just fortunate circumstances. I'm referring, for example, to the fact that we are served by two reputable school districts, those being West De Pere and Pulaski. And those two school districts enjoy a great reputation in the eyes of the public.
And Rich, thanks for bringing that up. That is an economic tool that people don't see.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I dabbled in real estate, but really I spent a lot more time as the mayor. And I think that's really true as a parent. I mean, I will do it's such a small time you have your kids, 18 years, you know, and man, you are going to do whatever you can and afford to do. That's the best. And, you know, private schools are an option, but that comes with a cost. But you always hear this schools, and
correct,
especially the people, because what your average age is, it's young there. So you got young families and you're right. And thank you for giving them some credit. I thought you were going to talk all about all the great things you've done. And here you are complimenting your another economic tool.
And that is a huge magnet, especially to families. A second thing we've got going for us, and it's a compliment to the city, but it is simply our location where we're located. We enjoy a very rural characteristic to the village, but yet we're not more than 10 minutes away from anything or any place you want to go to.
Right.
So the location serves us very well,
and you can get there too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, a couple of those roads could use a little work, but
yep.
I mean, you're accessible.
Absolutely.
That was my point.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you got the schools, you got a great location.
A third draw is the fact that I think there are 24 incorporated municipalities, towns and villages and cities within Brown County.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Of the 24, if number one is, say, the highest tax rate, Hobart, year to year to year, typically comes in at, I think it's typically, say, 22nd. So we enjoy like the third lowest tax rate in the county, which is, we're very proud of that. But it also is that is repeated typically from year to year to year. So people like that certainty, that predictability.
Okay, what you got to give yourself a little bit more credit than that. I live in a city four blocks from here with a high tax rate, and our taxes. But they keep saying, well, the services are unbelievable. I'm not sure I buy all that, but the services, and yet you go to Hobart, My guess is statistically your crime is lower than the cities as per capita. I don't know that, but I think what you got going for you is you have a low tax rate and you have a great product that's not going to require a tremendous amount of taxes. It's new. Oh, go ahead.
You brought up a good point there as well, which is probably a fourth reason that Hobart enjoys a draw to homeowners and property owners. And it's the fact that for about the past 10 years, Hobart has ranked typically within the top 10 safest municipalities in the state of Wisconsin on a per capita basis. And this includes all FBI statistics as well. So property crime, right, crimes of violence, drugs, and so forth. We've got those. Every community does.
Everybody does, yeah.
But we are typically ranked within the top 10. A few years ago, we were actually ranked, I believe it was the 63rd safest community within the United States.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's something to brag about. It's funny because, you know, you talk about, and you're not telling you anything you don't know, but maybe some of our listeners, there's surveys out there on what's important to you. And people sometimes think it's the taxes, but really that's like seventh. In some of these studies, Rich, it's education. It depends who you survey, right, too, right? But it's right, education and public safety.
Correct.
And if you're checking those two boxes, I mean, you've got a lot going for you.
Yeah.
We're going to go to a break, and we've talked about the village. I want to talk a little bit more about you because there's people who would like to aspire to be like you. I mean, you're leading a great village. You've got an awesome business background. And then I want to get into some of those development projects you have going on out there.
Sure. That's
pretty exciting stuff. But just quickly, you did, were you born and raised here?
I was not. I was actually born in New Jersey. Grade school classmate of Bruce Springsteen.
No.
Yeah, he was 3 years
ahead of
me. Get
him on my show.
Yeah. We went to the same parochial grade school together. Back in those days, he's in what they would have called it today, a hood. He was a hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that is so cool. I didn't know that about you. All right. Well, we're going to come back and just a minute. We're here with Rich Heidel, the president of the Village of Hobart, just a great municipality that, for a lot of reasons, and mainly Rich Heidel, is checking a lot of boxes and growing very quickly. So stick around. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Schmidt, and we are a program that leans local. We talk about local issues. Did you like that music?
I love it.
Do you watch Stripes? I mean, Suits?
Yes.
Oh my God, yeah. Rich. I know, and Kyle's been at my house. I don't have a TV, except I have one downstairs. The rest of it, I just don't watch TV. And the last time I sat down and watched TV was I watched Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Which was like unbelievable. What's weird about me, when I got this addictive personality, and so I would get up at like 4 a.m. and just start watching it again. I would go to bed. It was crazy. So last weekend, my wife was gone and, you know, I thought, well, it's nothing to do. The weather wasn't that great. So I turned on Netflix and that just hooked me. I'm telling you, I watched more TV last weekend than I've ever watched in the last 4 years. Anyway.
There is color TV now too, Jim.
I'm working on it. So Rich Heidel, president of the Village of Hobart. Rich, I wanted to talk a little bit about you, what made you get into politics, especially as a political leader, structure of your government, and then we'll get into some projects. But tell me about your foray into politics.
Okay. It was not intentional. We had a large municipal water project being proposed for the Village of Hobart back in 2002. And I was one of about 24 folks, just residents, who did not like the idea for many reasons. We tried any number of ways to get that project canceled. At the end of the day, though, the only recourse left to us was to recall the existing village president at the time. And so that's what we did.
But you were involved before. You didn't just show up for the recall. You had been one of these people at the grassroots level.
I took an interest. Yeah. Right. One of my undergraduate degrees is in political science.
Okay.
So it's been in my blood for decades. Yeah.
Cool.
I have another degree in mechanical engineering. So that's kind of a strange mix, but it serves me well, though.
Most politicians have a strange mix.
Yeah. Right. Right.
But you spent your career at WPS, right?
I did, almost 20 years as an engineer and a project manager there at WPS, which was wonderful years. It was a good company.
It's a great company.
Yeah.
Hey, Rich, what's the makeup of your government? I want to know the authority of a president, and you have city council, or not city council, but whatever.
Right. I wish I had just half the authority people think I have, but.
Well, that means you're doing something right.
I'm one of five individuals on a village board. So you've got the village president, and then you've got four village trustees. We all right now are at large. Each trustee serves a 2-year term. The village president serves a 3-year term. So that's the board. We do have an administrative staff then, which includes public works and police, fire, administrative folks, zoning compliance, and so forth. That comes to a headcount, I'll guess, about 20 people.
No.
But then we also have, which I think is wonderful, we've got nine different committees, commissions, or boards. Ranging from Board of Appeals to Planning and Zoning Commission to Public Works and Utilities. And all of these bodies are manned by residents, by volunteers.
But you appoint them.
I appoint them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so if you took those nine bodies, now you're talking probably another 70 or 80 individuals who volunteer and serve the village.
You know, they're doing it for the right reason.
Absolutely.
They are doing it for the volunteers. God bless them.
And if we didn't have them, I can tell you the staff, the village paid staff, would probably have to double in size.
Right.
So these people do take on a lion's share of work.
And they help the tax rate.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to talk about some projects. I mean, we drive through there, we see, and you got a nice interchange, right?
Correct.
It was, what, 2 years?
We lobbied for that thing.
Oh, I know you did.
Yeah, for an excess of 10 years, but it has now been finished. We had the ribbon cutting about 2 years ago.
Okay.
So the huge enhancement that represents has been the safety, number one.
Right.
But then number two, of course, comes the economic development with it, which is gives access on and off Highway 29, a major four-lane east-west artery.
Yeah. And again, I think some people have been there, but not everybody. Tell us about the Centennial. Tell us some of the things you got going on down there. And I'm not going to call it a downtown, but like an area. Maybe it's not a piazza. So whatever. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So back in 2008, the village purchased roughly, it was in excess of 300 acres. At that time, it was farmland, soybeans and corn. The plan, though, was to get it developed and create new tax base. So if that was 2008, so that was 16 years ago. In the past 16 years, those 300 plus acres now have morphed into one of the most successful TIF districts in the state of Wisconsin. It right now represents something in excess of $200 million in terms of increased tax base.
That's using that TIF tool, right?
Exactly.
Tax increment financing.
Yes.
You know,
It was all primarily residential development early on, but we were told that that's what's needed first. If you get critical mass with rooftops, and once you hit that critical mass, suddenly you'll find commercial interest coming in, and that's kind of where we're at now.
Cool.
Right now, with the economy in the nation, regardless of how you look at it, we've got commercial projects in the pipeline right now for that area yet.
Okay.
So things are still looking, you know, our motto is greatness is growing. I guess I'd add three more words. It's still ongoing. It's
right.
Good.
Yeah, it would be. So these rooftops that you're building, can you share with us some of your longer range plans, 5 years, 3-5 years? I mean,
Yeah.
And you say it's going to be skewed more commercial now, or are you going to keep the residential or what?
Absolutely. It will be skewed more commercial now. The real estate that's available, the smaller amount of real estate that's still left available is real estate located very close to Highway 29, which lends itself to commercial development.
Right, absolutely.
We are 33 square miles, but this area in the northern tip of the village, this 300 or so acres, with the it represents in excess of $200 million of increased tax base, but it only represents less than 3% of our land mass. So that you can't think of a more efficient way to use the land than that way.
Or a more profitable municipality if you keep that track going. But I mean, you need green space and everything too. Yeah. I get that. But
right.
That is awesome. And tell me about that. Does the government own, or do you sell that off when you get the development?
We sell the land.
Oh, you do? Okay. You don't lease it, you sell it. Okay.
Correct. We sell it.
All right. So we learned about you. What are your plans? I mean, you're going to stick around there? I mean, you got a great village.
At some point, you know this yourself. At some point, you gotta hang up your jersey and leave the locker room.
Yeah. We had Coach Kevin Forsythe on today.
Oh, fantastic.
That guy's an awesome guy, Rich.
He is.
He talked about when you make the decision and you know when it is.
And he's a humble guy.
Very, very, very. Anyway, so you're going to stick around for a while.
Right now, yes.
Not this higher office like Rafton's here, and then he's like, oh, next week he's senator.
No, you know what? I love this job because it is so challenging, and politics is all local. So whatever I decide to do or however I vote on a Tuesday night, I better darn well be able to defend it when I stand at a checkout line at Fleet Farm Wednesday morning.
Totally. That's the problem. All politics look at, and boy, do they, they're, some of these people are really schooled in politics and they want to know why you did what you did and you got to explain it to
exactly.
them and you're justified. Yep. All right, Rich Heidel, you've been awesome. Thanks for what you're doing obviously for Hobart, but really for the whole Brown County, for Greater Green Bay. You're a good partner. You're easy to work with. I've always enjoyed working with you. And thank you for coming on Lean Local. Hey, stick around. Our next guest is, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to go to downtown Green Bay and have Jeff Merkus, who is the director, join us. So stick around. We'll be right back. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. It's just like a dream. We built this city on
rock and roll. From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back to Lean Local. Another thank you shout out to Rich Heidel, the village president of Hobart. And Rich is like, I want to stay for the next half hour. There's so much more we could talk about. And I'm like, well, I'll tell you what, we'll have you back because I got another great guest coming in and he is here. I told Con, Con is our producer. And I said, Jeff, I queued up some special music for you. And he asked for Petula Clark downtown. But anyway, we're here with Jeff Merkus, Mr. Downtown Green Bay. I was thinking when I was getting ready for this, you have been down there for a while. Because I was mayor for 16 years. Paul was there for 8. Were you there before that?
I was there for the past 24 years.
24 years?
Yes, 24 years.
Wow.
It's been great. A lot of progress, a lot of excitement. It's been great working with you and many other fine mayors.
Yeah. Ebb and flow of, you know, like anything, right? And I want to get to that. Why? I mean, why did you do this? What keeps you at it? And 24 years is a long, long time to do... only thing I've done for 24 years is marriage. Other than that, nothing.
Right. So. Well, go for another 24. That's,
oh, well,
that's a good thing.
That's the plan.
I was a commercial banker for about 15 years, fresh out of college. I was a credit analyst and commercial banker. And it just, I discovered a lot about myself in my years in banking in Green Bay, worked for some outstanding organizations. They wanted their employees to get involved. And in that process of getting involved, I connected with many awesome organizations. Mm-hmm. And along that way, I really believe it just prepared me for a different calling.
You know, and so your official title is the executive director of Downtown Green Bay. And there's other Jeff Merkuses that be executive directors of, I don't know, Downtown DP or whatever. But so what does it take to do that? Do you have to have a bid district to do that? Just explain that, because eventually what I'm going to get to is if some kid like Kyle, who's here, he's a graduate of NWTC, marketing degree, kind of just learning things, What's the career path for that? But first, I want to talk about how you're funded and how the structure works.
Sure. Well, how we're funded, a business improvement district, primarily commercial properties within a defined area, pay a special assessment on the real estate taxes. The way I look at it, it's a little extra on the real estate taxes that most commercial property owners don't even recognize. It's so small. But that allows, and in a defined area, and our business improvement district, downtown Green Bay, is from Monroe Street to the river and from Mason Street to the East River. So it's about 400 commercial properties in that defined area.
And who defined that area?
Mm-hmm. Well, years ago when the organization was formed, 2 years before I was hired, our community leaders who were involved at the time felt that the downtown area needed a little extra focus. And this business improvement district model is a very common practice throughout the state. There are 70 or more bids in the state of Wisconsin, and it's an important financing vehicle. So downtowns can focus on a variety of initiatives. A lot of times it's business recruitment and it's events and it's marketing. Okay. It's shining a spotlight on a specific area.
And I'm really not from the outside because I worked with you for 16 years, but from the outside, it looks like a really fun job because it's like a lot of, it's the word I'm looking for. It's, you know how they say the steak and the sizzle. It seems like the sizzle. It just seems like there's a lot of these events, and I see you giving tours all the time, you know,
when I
come down here. And, right? I mean,
I wouldn't be doing this for the past 24 years if it wasn't a fun place to work and an exciting career. And I going back to like, no one really chooses that they want to grow up and become a director of a downtown. But and I would encourage any young people as they explore their career options, opportunities like this become available. And I work with dynamic people who, you know, take on a variety of responsibilities in our organization and marketing and events. And at some point in time, one of them may lead the organization.
So you have, you know, like 400 constituents, if you have 400 commercial properties. I mean, like, you know, those people who elect, they don't really elect you. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk, some people think you work for the government. Some people don't know who you work for.
Right.
But you do have a relationship with the government, don't you?
Absolutely. We work really closely. And as you know, there's this dotted line, awesome relationship between City Hall, the mayor's office, and the Economic Development Department, the Parks Department, and the Public Works Department. But in reality, and it's really, I enjoy having this opportunity to share that Downtown Green Bay Incorporated, we're a nonprofit organization. We run on a tight budget. We make a lot of fun things happen. But it's we're not a government agency. A lot of people think maybe I'm a city employee, but I'm not a city employee.
You wouldn't have been there 24 years. No, I'm seeing it. The city's great. So, Jeff, commercial development, right? Actually, residential, too. I'm sure you're, I want to get to this project later. And the events, and, you know, when we work together, and I don't want to keep going back there, but I just think events bring people and pride to a community.
I would, there are a couple of things that happened in the downtown that led to major progress. The one that you championed was the creation of the City Deck that opened in 2009. And that $12 million development has resulted in close to $200 million worth of development. However, it also created this venue for fun things to happen. And so the explosion or the growth of events has done so much to creating a vibe for downtown, and it all fits together really well. The fun things happening bring people. They get down here, they see a business, they support a business. Some of them may want to live here. Some of them may want to open a business here, and it fits together very well.
And thank you for saying that, but I did. I helped build that, but you programmed it, and I've told this story a million times, and I probably told it on the air, but I'm going to tell it again. We were down there right after 2009, 2010. You know, you have your Fridays on the Fox, Friday night events. And I was down there, and Don and I went, and I think it was Dueling Pianos. I'm not sure what the event it was, or it could have been Big Mouth. It was like one of those, you know.
And, both awesome groups. both outstanding groups.
Right. And Don and I were down there, and then we look over, and our kids are down there. They're high school, college kids. And I'm like, this is going to work. You know what I mean? Because seldom do we run into people at the same, do we run into each other at the same place? And it was just, we didn't plan it. We didn't say, let's go down there. Right. We said, look, see you guys, you know, later tonight. And we both ended up there. And you built on that. I mean, that was...
And I know that feeling. The same thing happened to me where Jackie and I are at Fridays in the Fox and we see our kids and their friends there. It was like, whoa.
I know. That means it's going to work. And they tell you, you know, in mayor school, I mean, whatever these conferences we go to, that look at the crowd and make sure you got millennials in there. You know, because if it's...
And Green Bay is made up of such a broad range of demographics. And we, my coworkers and I, we speak frequently that we want activities downtown to be welcome to all, to be welcome to anyone who lives in Green Bay and beyond.
So I got my man Kyle helping us out, my assistant, and he's 20 years old. And is, well, you can ask Jeff. We talked about this last week. Like, what are you doing for me?
Yeah. What, what sort of development? I mean, okay. So Green Bay, a city in Wisconsin, is largely focused around, you know, what to do is like these bars and this bar community. I'm 20. I'm not 21 yet. So it feels often like there's nothing for me to do. What sort of things are like being developed for the younger crowd? You know what I'm saying?
Well, yes. Wow. You had to start off with a tough one right off.
I know. Right. He's a new guy.
Will you help me with
learning.
This, Jim?
Yeah, he's learning.
First of all, we do want all ages to feel like they are welcome in our downtown. And so we do have fun coffee shops. We do have, you know, there are venues downtown that we obviously, you know, the Meyer Theater, and there are art-related facilities that, so we do want you and your friends to continue to patronize. And there may not be at the current moment a plethora of things, but we want your input too. So, obviously we hope that someday you work here and someday you live here. But it all starts with your impression. And for now, the impression might be when we're seeing more high school students come downtown for their senior portraits because of the historic buildings. We see them come downtown to the city deck for their photo shoots, for some of the special occasion homecoming dances or prom dances and those sorts of things. So we want it to be a fun place for you and your friends, a wide variety of reasons. But I think maybe... the broad range of programming that takes place in our, there are events that bring close to a half a million people downtown every year in the Broadway District, the Wednesday Farmers Market, the Saturday Market. We do know that young people enjoy going out with their friends and even a market. And because at all those markets, there's entertainment. Fridays on the Fox and other concert series and other types of events. So I think probably the most notable might be the vast amount of special events that take place. Right. And many of them, they ignite markets in the Broadway District. There are real, unique, a lot of fun. And it's in many cases, those are free events.
Yes. And I just, Jeff, you said something and I just want to underscore what you said about like you're interested, like you will probably give, my guess, I don't know you that well, my guess is you're going to give Kyle your card.
Which he has it already. Okay. I just gave it to him.
Oh, you did? You were talking? You gave,
right.
Oh, my God.
So he's got my card.
All right.
And when the young people
want... You will follow up. Yep, I mean, yeah, you are the Mr. Follow-up.
If he wants a tour of downtown and see some of the things we're working on, he and his friends, they'll get a tour
of
downtown.
Think that's why you've been there 24 years, and that's why downtown continues to grow, is you do listen, and you hear something, and some of us might say, I'm too busy for that. You chase it down. And I'm not surprised. I just said that as a joke. He's going to give you his card. You're like, I already did when I was talking to him. All right. So, Jeff, some of the, we talked about some catalyst projects, and I just want to talk about that. Every community that, you know, you hear these villages are trying to create a downtown. Well, they are. We had Jim Rafton on last Sunday, and he talked about, we want to build a downtown in Alloway, 13,000 people. I will say, you know, I grew up in Two Rivers. I think they have an awesome downtown, 12,000, maybe 14,000 people now. You know, it's been a lot of time in Elkhart Lake, there's only 1,000 people there. And they have a downtown, very small, but they have some cool stuff. And I think you've done that. But besides the events, you've got to have a couple catalyst projects. You mentioned the City Deck, and you mentioned the Meyer Theater too. I mean, you gotta put some public private money to get some bones or some infrastructure.
Absolutely. We have generosity in this community. You witnessed a lot of it, but 20 plus years ago, the Meyer Theater opened. A lot of corporations and philanthropists stepped up to make that happen. But that was a blighted, tired, old property that I often say that when the Port Plaza Mall was being built in the late 70s, if that Meyer Theater would have been a block or two to the north, it wouldn't be here today.
Right.
And so, you know, having venues like that are really obviously important. We want character downtown. And, you know, when, you know, the character that the Hotel Northland brings to our downtown and the office buildings in that vicinity, it really creates this vibe that it's, you know, these are properties that the YMCA, you know, closing in on 100 years old, the Bellin Building over 100 years old. So having some of that character is important. Yeah. And, but what's really most important to people is what goes on inside and attracting employees for the downtown. I'd have to say that more people come downtown for practically any reason than for hospitality, restaurants and recreation, City Deck and the Fox River Trail.
Yeah, and that Fox River Trail was that's a good one. I want to talk about a couple of the and thanks again for those for inviting me out last week to the international restaurant tour.
Mm-hmm. It was a food tour.
Food tour.
Yeah.
Eight unique restaurants, and I've been to most of them, but there are a couple that I hadn't been. So that got me in the door, and you know, definitely going to go back there. And what I like about what you're doing, the city's doing, I guess what the downtown's doing, is it's just not a lot of chains. I mean, you're doing it right. You know, I'm a big fan of Angelina's. You know, I had a couple parties there. But you know, even the Republic, that was a coup.
We love talking about the authentic, locally owned restaurants.
Right.
And even looking ahead to a year from now when the NFL draft is coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin, we know that downtown Green Bay is going to be an important place. Even though the activities are 3.5 miles away, we want downtown to be so welcoming.
Yeah. Well, we own the transit system. We'll get them here. So, hey, we're going to be right back. Jeff, I want to talk to you about a couple new projects. One recently that's being proposed. In the
Jewland Enterprises. Right, look forward to talking about it.
Yeah, and then a couple other housing projects that you have going on too. So stick around. We're going to be back with Jeff Merkus, Executive Director of Downtown Green Bay. We'll be right back. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Good Music Con. All right, welcome back. This is Lean Local, Jim Schmidt. I'm your host for this, and we lean local into communities. What's going on locally? And as much as we have a lot of media coverage in Green Bay, you know, the Press Gazette does what the Press Gazette's going to do because they're kind of owned by Gannett. And the TV stations, you know, it's half commercials, and then the other half is, you know, weather and car crashes. So we talk about what's exciting, what's going on locally, and we have a great guest with us, Jeff Merkus, who is the executive director of Downtown Green Bay. Look, you're pretty visible too. I will say that. I mean, you work the city, you do a lot of events, and you have a relationship with the city. You don't work for the city. You're funded mostly by the commercial businesses in the community and a lot of private donations. I mean, right?
A lot of generous sponsors stand behind what we do. When you take a look at some of our initiatives, like the beautiful lights in the trees on Washington Street and the
Love
lights
it.
On the City Deck, that's all because of generous corporate donations that they want a cool looking downtown. And it really makes a big impact on the vibe.
So I was telling some people that you're going to be a guest on Lean Local, and I will say they want to know a little bit more about the proposed project for the Cherry Street lot. And there's been a couple proposals there before. I don't think it's this. This sounds like it's pretty far down the road. Can you share anything with us?
Sure. I'll be happy to talk about Newland Enterprises. They're based out of Milwaukee, and they have a lot of very impressive projects in the Milwaukee area. They built the Ascent Building, which is the largest timber frame structure in the world. It's a 30-plus story residential building, 200-plus units, and a building called Nova, which is also very impressive. And they are proposing 268-unit development in the heart of our downtown. It is a prime development on a prime site. And yes, you are correct. The city has put out RFPs over the years for the right development. And in a successful urban area, it is important to do urban design and development appropriately. What they are proposing is an 8-story development. It is heavily rich with amenities. It is a beautiful market rate development. You almost have to see it to believe it. I'm sure we'll be seeing more of it in the weeks ahead as it goes through the approval process.
Right.
It'll be back to the RDA next month. There will be a swimming pool and golf simulators and a lawn and a beautiful amenity package. I think they are good marketers where you're in love with the property before you even see the unit you're going to move into.
Right. 268 market rate. I want you to say that again. It's market rate?
Yes.
Okay. I think we need market rate.
We need all kinds.
We've got a lot of housing down here. We need to focus a little bit more. I'm glad you're doing that. And I think we have some workforce housing, and I think we're making an effort. United Way is building a really nice development, 43 units there. And of course, we have some other things. I'm glad to hear this. These are apartments or condos?
They're apartments.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There'll be apartments. There will be a number of townhome-ish buildings, units that step right out onto the sidewalk on Cherry Street. And the podium parking will be in the center of the building. It's an L-shaped structure, but the design is very impressive.
All right. I got to ask, because that was one of the texts I got when I told somebody you were coming on. You know what I'm going to say, so I'll just, the whole Heritage Plaza, Packer, is that staying? They're going to work around that?
Well, this development would require that property, those assets to be relocated elsewhere. The way this property is designed is they need every square inch of that parking lot for this development to take place. And we are confident that another more appropriate another location will be found for that, for the heritage statues.
Mm. I'd push back, but I'm not there anymore. They can work around it. Even that building across the street you can see right now, they want to take some stuff down. I'm like, no, that's not on the table. And they're like, they'll work around it. They'll work around it if you want them to. What about the Monroe Street, right? Monroe Street. And again, I was there when we acquired the property, and that's been a lot of start and stops. I don't think you had a great economic director for a period of time, and I'm glad he's gone. But what's going on there now?
So there is a 170-unit market rate development proposed for that site.
Well, wow, that's a lot of units if you take these two together, right?
And absolutely. And our area needs in excess of 1,000 units. We're of the belief that why shouldn't hundreds of them be located in the heart of our downtown? That's 170 units proposed. It's an incredibly impressive design. And it's also, they're continuing to work on their financing package.
That's awesome. Is that a Wisconsin developer too?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I like that. I'm just one vote now, but I think there's some things that take a little risk away. And I think that's one of them, right? If you can do things locally or as close to local as you can get. Right. Like Max, when we did the Metro, Milwaukee developer.
Right.
Easy to get down there and talk to him, easy to come back, and he was up here a lot.
And that's another fine development, 107 units. It's done very well.
Yeah.
And, over the past few years, downtown residential has been in very strong demand with strong occupancy. So there's a real big, there's a strong case to build hundreds of more units in the downtown area.
We're in a building that is leased out. You can't get a place here.
City Deck Landing, they have a long waiting list.
They do.
People want 2-year leases.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a great property. And it's very characteristic of, and there's many developments like this that people love being here. They love the amenities. They like the walkability and the fun things going on. And it's a great place to live.
That's cool. I got to leave on a high note. We only have 2 minutes left. Jeff, we got to talk about homeless. They're here, and I don't know if it's being managed. I got to believe, as the executive director of a downtown, that you've got to deal with all the great shiny things we just talked about, but a few challenges down here too. Loud noise being one of them with cars, and I know you've addressed that in the last few months. But looking out the window, homeless.
Our heart goes out to people with needs, sheltering needs, and this is characteristic all over our country and throughout our state. I was just in a meeting this week, and there were dozens and dozens of agencies and community leaders there. And while Downtown Green Bay Incorporated is not directly involved with solving that crisis, I am so pleased that there are professionals and organizations and resources that are working at it. And I really hope and pray that that needle moves in the right direction.
Yeah. Because I work at New Community Shelter, as you know, and I it's a challenge, and it needs a lot of attention. And I just don't want, hope people don't get too wrapped up in the NFL draft. I hope we really realize that we have some challenges that have to be addressed.
It's not solved only by throwing money at it.
No, I'll give you that.
Communities that throw millions and then more millions and more millions, and the crisis continues to get worse.
Look at California. There's a lot of studies on this stuff, and it's significant money, and it's the same or the worst. But hey, look, we got a lot going for us downtown here, and it's a big thanks to you, your organization. Jeff Merkus, the president of the executive director of Downtown Green Bay. I can't believe you've been there 24 years.
No, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is.
But, and I'm not done yet. I'm enjoying it, love it. I'm challenged, and I'm going to keep at it.
Well, you got three weddings coming up, too. That'll keep you there. All right, Jeff Merkus, thanks for being here. Thank you for joining us on Lean Local. Stick around. Join us next week. We've got Brian Johnson, who is the executive director of On Broadway, and then Mary Jane Herbert's coming in. She's going to talk about some political history. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.